Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, 4 March, 2025, Zechariah.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah chapter 1. We have completed the first paragraph, the doctrine on repentance, biblical repentance. And now we're headed into a series of 8 visions. Zechariah 1:7-6:15. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Tom Galbraith has this article, Freedom Circling the Drain in Europe, but not just in Europe. In America and all over the world. Foreign Policy magazine called it the speech that stunned Europe. On February 14th, Vice President J.D. Vance addressed the Munich Security Conference. His speech came one day after yet another in a series of recent attacks on that city, carried out by Muslim terrorists. There are many highly consequential elements to the Vice President's speech, but I want to focus here on only one, the erosion of fundamental human rights in Europe. From that continent, Christianity, along with the freedoms that follow it, spread to much of the world. Now, rights such as the freedom of religion and freedom of speech abruptly end with the application of one of several labels. And those labels are easily applied by the government so that government leaders can protect their power. What are those labels? Hate. Hate speech. Christians who believe that in the living and true God, Christians who believe that the Bible is the Word of God, are often accused of committing hate speech. And therefore, that is one of the ways that they will round you all up and put you in prison. But is All you got to do is sing a couple of hymns and they'll let you all out, I'm sure. The labels include hate, radical, and extremist. Vance spoke of Romania, where in December they canceled the result of a presidential election based on the flimsy suspicions of an intelligence agency and enormous pressure from its continental neighbors. Vance said, "I was struck that a former European commissioner went on television recently and annulled an entire election. He warned that if things don't go to plan, the very same thing will happen in Germany as well." Vance brought up the Cold War. He said, "Consider the side in that fight that censored dissidents, that closed churches, that canceled elections. Were they the good guys? Certainly not. And thank God they lost the Cold War." He reminded them that last year in the United Kingdom, officials convicted a man, arrested him for praying. And he was praying silently. As Vice President Vance said, the man was not obstructing anyone, not interacting with anyone. He was just silently praying on his own and was arrested for praying. Then in October of last year, the Scottish government, Scotland has gone to, well, we got coming up where you're all going to wear green and all that stuff. Did you know that the fellow that you're honoring on that day, he's not Irish. He came from Scotland. But that was when Scotland had some people that were Christians and believers, and he was the missionary that went to Ireland and presented the grace and truth of the Word of God. But Scotland today has gone, well, total apostasy and degeneracy. The Scottish government began distributing letters to citizens whose houses lay within so-called safe access zones, warning them that even private prayer within their own homes may amount to breaking the law. Praying in your own home, breaking the law. Vice President Vance added, "Naturally, the government urged readers to report any fellow citizens suspected of doing so." That takes us back to the Nazis in World War II. They were spying on the populace, spying on people. And if they thought they were doing something, they would report them. If you suspect they're praying in their home, report them to the authorities and we will get them. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. Scholz! No, that's a movie. That's kind of fun. This guy's a jerk here. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz rebuked Vance, saying, "We've created institutions that ensure that our democracies can defend themselves against their enemies and rules that do not restrict or limit our freedom, but protect it." The argument that we must restrict free speech in order to protect free speech, restrict free speech to protect free speech, Sounds like something right out of 1984. I hope that you understand 1984. Remember Orwell's warning? His fictional Big Brother government used slogans like war is peace and freedom is slavery. Censorship protects free speech? Well, that fits right in. But sadly, there's nothing fictional about it. A new global totalitarianism is on the march in Europe, and it will not be satisfied until the Antichrist himself rules the world. Everything is... Who is the ruler of planet Earth? Who is the ruler of this world right now? Fallen angel. His name is the devil. His name is Satan. He's the one that's ruling planet Earth. And he has everything in place for his man to come on the scene. The Antichrist. All it's waiting for is the rapture. The resurrection of the royal family of God, and then the Antichrist will come on the scene. And then we're in the last 7 years of the age of Israel, the tribulation period. And the last 3.5 years of that, the great tribulation. And of course, we've studied much about that from the Word of God in the book of Joel. But Joel's completed. Now we're in Zechariah. So, Zechariah 1:1-6, we studied the doctrine of biblical repentance and those six verses, and now that brings us to a series of 8 visions, Zechariah 1:7-6:15. And we noted by way of introduction, like his contemporary Haggai, Zechariah called on Judah to finish rebuilding the temple immediately. Why? Why was it important to immediately rebuild the temple? And by the way, Darius and Cyrus, they made the decree so that the Jews could go back, so that they could go back to Jerusalem. Why? Specifically to rebuild the temple. Why? Because that's where the living and true God, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, dwelt in the Holy of Holies. In the temple. And so Cyrus and Darius, they gave a decree for the Jews to go back specifically to rebuild the temple so that we could worship in that temple the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, the living and true God, would dwell in the Holy of Holies. So that's what we have here. Haggai and Zechariah called on Judah to finish rebuilding the temple immediately. Why? To get your spiritual priorities in order. God has to be number one. The living and true God has to be number one. The Shekinah glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, has to be number one. And this is a... One of the, unfortunately, problems in the apostasy and degeneracy of America. We have a lot of Christians in America. A lot of Christians. The sad thing is their spiritual priorities are kaput. They're gone. They're non-existent. They're not important. Everything is more important than God and His Word. But if we're going to survive, and we're very close to the fifth cycle of national discipline, if we're going to survive, then Christians in America need to get their spiritual priorities in order. There needs to be a spiritual revival in America. The grace gospel, and it's almost impossible to hear the grace gospel today, even in so-called doctrinal people and doctrinal churches, there's almost impossible to hear the grace gospel. Instead, false gospels are given again and again and again and again. But we need the grace gospel given all over America that many sons might be brought into glory. And then we need, I hope you're praying for all of those Christians living in Satan's cosmic system. They're making bad decisions. They're living in Satan's cosmic system. Pray that God will do whatever it takes to work in their heart so that they come to their senses. Come to their senses and get back into fellowship with God. Rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. And then seek out a sound Bible teaching church. And I'll be the first one to tell you that's not easy to find today in America. And that's why the non-face-to-face part of our congregation is huge all over the United States of America, because there's no local church in their geographical area that has sound Bible teaching. There isn't any. But they want sound Bible teaching, so they get our classes by email, MP3 disc, and get it that way. There are very few. But we got people who have got their spiritual priorities straight, and they want sound Bible teaching, sound doctrinal teaching. And they're a part of this congregation. The congregation of a local church today has face-to-face teaching. Those who come face-to-face who live in the geographical area, and then those who do not live in this area but live all over America. All over. You'd be surprised at some of the places where there are believers getting the classes from here. Zechariah's message stirred these returnees from their apathy and move them to get going and resume the construction of the temple, Ezra 6:13-15. Soon after the reconstruction began, the Lord gave Zechariah a series of 8 visions, which we are going to be studying now, Zechariah 1:7-6:15. And Zechariah received all 8 visions in one night. He received all 8 visions in one night. He did not imagine them while he was sleeping. Rather, he received this divine revelation while he was wide awake. These visions unfold prophetic events that extend from Judah's return to Israel to the day when Israel's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return to establish his millennial kingdom on earth. The Bible gives us the exact date of these 8 visions in Zechariah 1:7. This was 3 months after Zechariah's message on repentance, Zechariah 1:1-6. The first vision involved a rider on a red horse. Now that gets your attention right there. First of all, it's hard to find red horses today. When you find a red horse, that gets your attention. First vision involved a rider on a red horse standing among the myrtle trees. That's Zechariah 1:8-17. The second was a vision of 4 horns and 4 craftsmen, Zechariah 1:18-21. And in these first 2 visions, Zechariah revealed God's amazing grace and mercy and care for his own people and the eventual destruction of Israel's enemies. So we just barely got started on the first vision, the red horse rider among the myrtle trees, Zechariah 1:7-17. Verse 7 sounds like this. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. So, what day was that? We know the exact date. There's the exact date right there. Verse 7. You get that? On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to prophet Zechariah. Okay, you didn't get that in that verse, but here's what it is. The Bible gives the exact date these eight visions were given, and that is February 15th, 519 B.C. February 15th, 519 B.C. The source of Zechariah's vision is clearly denoted by the clause, "The word of the Lord." The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah. That phrase, "the word of the Lord came," is a prophetic formula indicating divine revelation. So Zechariah 1:8, he starts out and says, "I saw by night." This is the cow perfect of the verb ra'af, the first person singular subject, plus the noun layla with the definite article. Ra'ah is the verb to see. It's used to see in a vision in our verse. The vision came during the night. Layla is the Hebrew word night. The phrase, "I had a vision," denotes the means by which divine revelation was conveyed to Zechariah. The expression does not refer to a dream. Zechariah was totally wide awake, as is apparent by his questions that he presents in verse 9, and then in chapter 3, verse 5, interrupting while the vision's going on. So, "during the night I had a vision." Then we have, "and behold, a man riding upon a red horse." We have the conjunction vav prefix to the demonstrative particle hine, joined by a makef to the noun ish, plus the calactive participle of rakav, plus the preposition al, joined by a makef to the noun sus, modified by the adjective adon. All right, we have vahene ish. Vahene ish. I'll even put it up here. I know you get it. And you won't get this in 99.99% of churches, but you'll get it here, because I study from the original autographs, not from an English translation, but from the original autographs. Vahene, and then makef ish. So here's the conjunction vav. So we have va hene ish. Va hene ish. And this is very powerful. You won't get it in your translations in English, but in the Hebrew, this is very powerful. And it puts the spotlight is on the red horse rider. The conjunction vav is continuative, you translate it and. The demonstrative particle hene, well, it can be translated low, although we don't say low much anymore. When's the last time you said low? And I mean L-O, not L-O-W, you know. How low can you go? That's something else. Lo or behold, and behold is probably the best way to translate it. Or look, you know, look at that red horse rider. Behold, and then we have the noun, it's a makef to the noun ish, and that's the Hebrew word man. So, the most, let's get a couple of points. One, the most important person seen in this vision is the red horse rider. The most important person seen in this vision is the red horse rider. Behold, a man was riding on a red horse, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ in Theophany. Two, this importance is stressed by the interjection, hine. Behold, look, behold. And that precedes the noun man and focuses attention dramatically upon it. Look, a man. Behold, the man. And then the verb rakav. Looks like that. R-A-K-A-B. Rakav. And rakav is the verb that means to mount and ride, to mount and sit, to ride, to be riding. All of those are translations of the verb. Three. The man is envisioned as being in the act of riding. He's in the act of riding. And this man is writing Al Sus Adom. Al Sus Adom. So we got I-N-A-L, that's a preposition. The noun sus, S-U-S, and then the adjective that modifies it, adom. Al sus adom. The preposition al means on or upon. He's not under the horse, he's on top of the horse. The noun sus is the Hebrew word for horse, and it's modified by the adjective adom, which is the word red. During the night I had a vision, and behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Four, it is evident from the text that the rider on the red horse stands above the others in dignity and in authority. It is evident from the text that the rider on the red horse stands above the others in dignity and authority. Five, the rider on the red horse is identified as the angel of the Lord. Now, the angel of the Lord is not an angel. The angel of the Lord, this is a theophany. Theophany. The angel of the Lord is not an angel. The angel of the Lord is the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. So the rider on the red horse is identified as the angel of the Lord. Six, the angel of the Lord is a theophany. That is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord is a theophany. That is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seven, the other riders in the vision are angels accompanying him. So the other riders in the vision, vision number one, they are angels accompanying the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, corrected translation, during the night I had a vision. And behold, a man was riding on a red horse, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to the doctrine of the theophanies of God. The doctrine of the theophanies of God. Point one is definition. Definition. Subpoint one, the word theophany comes from two Greek words. It comes from theos, and that's God, and the verb phino, and that means to appear. So theophany comes from theos and phino. Point two, subpoint two, therefore theophany is an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before the first advent. Now why isn't it an appearance of God the Father? Because no one has ever seen the Father. Why isn't it an appearance of God the Holy Spirit? Because no one has ever seen God the Holy Spirit. There's only one visible member of the Godhead that has been seen in the Old Testament, and of course in the New Testament, and even after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ following his resurrection in a resurrection body, then that's not a theophany, that's a Christophany. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in a resurrection body. And he had many Christophanies in his resurrection body. But a theophany, point three, a theophany is a manifestation of the person and work of Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. A theophany is a manifestation of the person and work of Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate state. Four, Jesus Christ is the only visible member of the Godhead. Jesus Christ is the only visible member of the Trinity. God is one in essence, but he's three in personality. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the doctrine of the Trinity. Jesus Christ is the only visible member of the Trinity or the Godhead. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John 1, verse 18. John 1, 18. It starts out, No one has ever seen God. But, meaning except, there's one exception. God, the uniquely born one, who is at the Father's side, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He, Jesus Christ, has made him, God, known. And you just miss out on what the word here. He has made him known. Ex egeomai. That's E-K-S long E-G-E-O-M-A-I. Ex egeomai. Now, exegeomai, we get our word exegete. Exegete. No one has ever seen God except God, the uniquely born one, Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of the Father. He has exegeted him. He has explained him. Explained him because he is the living and true God. I just love that. You don't get that if you only study from English translation. You only get that from the original autographs, but nobody teaches from that anymore. sad to say. Turn over to John 6:46. John 6:46. Not that any man has seen the Father, because they haven't. Except, there's one exception, the one who is from God, the Lord Jesus, incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas. He has seen the Father. No other person has seen the Father. Five. The second person of the Trinity is the only visible God of the New Testament and the only visible God of the Old Testament. The second person of the Trinity is the only visible God of the New Testament and the only visible God of the Old Testament. And the only visible manifestations of God in the Old Testament, these are theophanies. Theophanies that refer only to Jesus Christ. They refer only to Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. So that's point one definition. Point two. Theophanies demonstrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. Theophanies demonstrate the fact that Jesus Christ is the God of Israel. Let's amplify that. Subpoint one. This is substantiated by the fact that Jesus Christ, as a theophany, appeared to Moses. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush. So first of all, this is substantiated by the fact that Jesus Christ, as a theophany, appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Turn over to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we'll start at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord, there's the theophany, this is Jesus Christ as a theophany. The angel of the Lord is not an angel, it's the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I think I'll go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. And then we have, when the Lord. Now the angel of the Lord is identified through the Tetragrammaton. YHWH, Tetragrammaton, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. So now the angel of the Lord, theophany for Jesus Christ, is identified as Jehovah. When Jehovah the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, I'm here, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And also, again, subpoint one, this is substantiated by the fact that Jesus Christ as a theophany appeared to Moses in the burning bush. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, New Testament. Acts chapter 7. Acts 7, starting in verse 30. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. And when he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. And as he went over to look more closely, he heard the Lord's voice. I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses trembled with fear, and he did not dare to look. And then the Lord said to him, take off your sandals. The place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt. And this is the same Moses whom they had rejected with the words, who made you ruler and judge? He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who appeared to him in the bush. Subpoint two. As the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led Israel through the desert. As the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that led Israel through the desert. Turn over to Exodus 13. Exodus 13. Good catch. Exodus 13. Verse 21, Exodus 13:21. By day, the Lord, and that's the Tetragrammaton, the holiest name for the living and true God. By day, the Lord, this is Jesus Christ, went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Exodus 13:21. Now turn over to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 19. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. Exodus 14:19. And then go over to Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Exodus 23, verse 20. See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him. This is the living and true God. This is Jehovah. If you listen carefully to what he says and do all that I say, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will oppose those who oppose you. My angel will go ahead of you, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring you into the land of the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, and I will wipe them out. So as the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead Israel through the desert, these passages, I'll give you some other ones you can look up as well. Exodus 33, 9 through 11. Exodus 33, verse 14. Isaiah 63, verse 9. So point 3. As the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord, warned the judges. He warned the judges of Israel in Judges 2, 1 through 4. As the God of Israel, Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord, warned the judges of Israel in Judges 2. Judges chapter 2, 1 through 4. Judges 2, verse 1. The angel of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ in theophany, the angel of the Lord went up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give to your forefathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall not make a covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. Yet you have disobeyed me. Why have you done this? I often ask that of people that used to be here and no longer here. Why have you done this? Now, therefore, I tell you that I will not drive them out before you. They will be thorns in your sides, and their gods will be a snare to you. When the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, had spoken these things to all the Israelites, the people wept aloud. Subpoint 4. Not only did Jesus Christ as the God of Israel appoint Moses, the first leader of the Jewish nation, but he also appointed the most likely to succeed. And that's a guy named Gideon. Gideon gets the title, least likely to succeed. So not only did Jesus Christ, as the God of Israel, appoint Moses, the first leader of the Jewish nation, but he also appointed the second leader, Gideon, in Judges chapter 6. So turn over to Judges 6. Judges 6. Judges 6, starting at verse 11. Judges 6, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ in theophany, and the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ in theophany, came and sat down under the oak in that's not Oprah, she has a TV program, this is Ophrah, came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ in theophany, appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. When he said that, you know what? Gideon, is there somebody else here? He can't be talking to me. I'm a coward and a weak sister, and he can't possibly be talking to me. And after this was all over, I can see Gideon strutting around. You know, the Lord called me mighty warrior. Yeah. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, Why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian. Verse 14, the Lord, Jehovah. Now we see who the angel of the Lord is again. Jehovah. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel. Deliver Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you, I, Jehovah? But Lord, now Gideon realizes this is Jehovah the Lord. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. We're weak sisters. And I am the least in my family. I am a zero. The Lord, Jehovah, answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign. Could you please give me a sign? Help me out here. That it is really you? This is really you, Jehovah, the living and true God? It's really you talking to me? Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. And the Lord said, I'll wait until you return. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and his broth in a pot. He brought them out and offered them to him, the one sitting under the oak. And the angel of God, Jesus Christ, said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. And the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the ark, or the rock, not the ark. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. And the angel of the Lord disappeared. And Gideon said, wow, did you see that? When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon became a mighty warrior by the grace and power of God. While angel and the angel of the Lord and the angel of his presence was the primary form in which Jesus Christ was manifested to people in the Old Testament, there are other theophanies as well. For example, 5, he appeared to Abraham as a man. He appeared to Abraham as a man. Turn over to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Start at verse 1. Genesis 18, 1 and 2. The Lord, and that's the Tetragrammaton. This is the Tetragrammaton, the greatest name and powerful name of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah. The Lord, the Tetragrammaton, appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and he saw three men. Okay, he sees three men. Two of them are angels, and one is the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. So there's three there, two angels, and the Lord Jesus Christ in theophany. So Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby, and when he saw them, he hurried from the entrance of his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. Now let's go over to, we don't need to read all of this chapter. Let's go to verse 9. Where's your wife Sarah? The three of them, they asked Abraham. She's in the tent, he said. And then the Lord, Jehovah, the living and true God, said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Well, this just blew him away, that he was going to have a son. I mean, he is past the point of having children. Not only is he past, Sarah's way past, way, way past. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old. They're already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed. She laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out, I'm totally worn out, and my master is old. Will I now have this pleasure? I don't know if I call it a pleasure at old age, but anyway. Then the Lord, this is the Tetragrammaton again, Jehovah, said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm an old lady? It doesn't say old lady, but it just says old. Is anything too hard for the Lord, Jehovah, the Tetragrammaton? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, and so she lied and said, I didn't laugh, but she's talking to the living and true God. You're not going to fake out God, you know. But he said, yes, you did laugh. And then when the men got up to leave, they looked down toward Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. And the two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord Jesus Christ stuck around. Then the Lord Jehovah Jesus Christ said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord Jesus Christ will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Now it goes on, and this is a great passage, the rest of chapter 18. The Lord is going to send the two angels down. Sodom and Gomorrah is kaput. They're done. So we have in America, in our nation, over the last 10 years, homosexuality and lesbianism has multiplied 10 times. 10 times in the last 10 years in our nation. And we are told by the liberals and that we are to exp- respect them and the right to be a homosexual and a lesbian. And what it simply means is what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah, he will do to America. We're toast. We are toast. We're in apostasy and degeneracy. We are toast. And all you have to do is study what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's what the rest of that was about. Sodom and Gomorrah, they were nuked. They're gone. And if we don't turn back to God and his word, we will be too. Now we're still here now. Is there hope? Yes, there's hope. We're still here. What we have a president who's been making a lot of good decisions. One, fulfilling the principle, I will bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu says that President Trump is the best president that is a friend of the nation Israel in the history of our nation. Well, that's great. No, that's fantastic. That's great. And securing the borders and not allowing criminals, drug addicts, traitors, terrorists come over. Terrorists are coming into this country right over the border. They've been doing it for years and years. And then they live in sanctuary cities. And he's making good decisions in that regard. But that's all politics. That's not a spiritual solution. The spiritual solution is we need a spiritual revival. We need to turn back to God and the Word of God. And we can. The question is, will we? There are signs that maybe that is happening in certain places. I tell you, I had more fun watching the national championship when Ohio State beat Notre Dame, and the coach and the players were Christians, and they had a great spiritual revival on campus before the national championship. Thousands came and they gave their testimony. They gave the grace gospel. They even, people wanted to be baptized. They gave Bibles to people. That's a spiritual revival. And then the Super Bowl. I learned a lot about Philadelphia. Man, am I a Philadelphia fan now? The coach is a born-again believer. Many of the players are born-again believers. And man, I found out that I am a Philadelphia Eagle fan. And that's a sign. You never used to hear things like that. I want to give all the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to give all the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of the players, same way. The best running back in the NFL is a born-again believer, outspoken Christian for Jesus Christ. Those are good signs. And maybe we're on the verge of a spiritual revival. I certainly pray that that's the case, because I love America. We are the client nation of God currently. And we can turn back to God and his word. And God will deliver us from the fifth cycle of national discipline. Well, here's a great passage. These eight visions that Zechariah received in one night. And this is the first one, and it has this theophany. The rider on the red horse, Jesus Christ. We'll take a look at this, pick it up from here next time. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.